think darkness is your ally. You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it.
Welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle.
I'm Graham.
And I'm Mike.
And today we are wrapping up the Dark Knight trilogy with The Dark Knight Rises. So, I'll just give a quick synopsis of the movie. So, we come back 8 years after the death of Harvey Dent and the fleeing of Batman. Bruce Wayne is, like, locked up in his house. He's become a hermit, doesn't want to see anyone, yada, yada, yada. And there's a new villain. His name is Bane. He's got this, like, weird mask thing going on. And he basically wants to bring anarchy to Gotham and kind of, like, create, like, an uprising. And he's kind of a continuation of Ra's al Ghul's society, but, like, different and worse somehow, and he actually, like, does things. And Commissioner Gordon still doesn't know who Batman is, which is kind of ridiculous to me. And we have new characters in Joseph Gordon-Levitt's, what's his name?
John Blake, I think.
Yeah, John Blake, and he is a, he becomes a police detective, and he kind of, like, figures out the whole Batman thing, like, pretty quickly. And, yeah, just give that quick synopsis, but we'll get into more detail as we, you know, talk about the movie. General thoughts.
I really love this movie. Shocker.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I think this
is shocking.
This is the second best film in the trilogy, I think. And I think it has a lot of problems, but it tells such an epic story, and it's such, like, the ending is so rousing that and it's actually a very, I found it very satisfying, like a very emotionally satisfying ending. I like the way it tied back into Batman Begins. Mm-hmm. I love Bane. I think Bane is a great villain.
Really?
Yeah, I love Bane as a villain. And yeah, it just, I think it's a great movie.
Right. I think it's a, I enjoyed it as an ending to the Batman series, and I think that's why it carries enjoyment for me. I think I'm like, I was pretty satisfied with it as the ending. I think the how they got there was a little absurd, and I have some problems with Bane. I think Tom Hardy did a great job. I think that's not what Bane is supposed to be in the greater Batman history, but, like, that's not the only reason to critique him. I think the plot was kind of fast and loose. I was pretty into, like, certain sections of it, but I think it kind of flew off the rails at certain points for the sake of coming to a close. Like, I think it's definitely a contender for second. I think it's a close call if it's either the worst or the second worst, which is using pretty negative terms. It could be the least best or the second best, but I'm going with those words.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know. I thought it was a good conclusion. Like, I think it, like, wrapped up the series well. I didn't think it was, like, a horrible movie. I just, like, wasn't as into it as I was The Dark Knight. And, like, I don't know, I just didn't think it was okay for me. Like, it wasn't amazing, and it also wasn't, like, horrible, I think. So, I think one of the first things I wanted to talk about was, like, comparing the openings, because I remember the opening from The Dark Knight was, like, I thought that was an amazing way to, like, start the movie, to introduce the Joker, to, like, get people, like, engaged with the movie. This one, I think he tried to do a similar thing while, like, introducing the villain as soon as we, like, come into the movie and, like, creating this character and, like, making it kind of confusing and stuff like that. Well, not even confusing, just, like, I don't know, disorienting or something. But I don't think it worked for me. Thoughts?
Nonsense technology. Just always nonsense
just
technology.
Just fly through the air behind airplane.
I love this scene. I think this is a great, I think it's a great opening.
Cool in concept. Fails in reality.
I think coordinating
a plane to follow another plane and also jump, that just doesn't work. It's just not how planes
work. Oh, see, no, because that's the part I don't buy is, like, how did the CIA, the whole, like, faking the person's death makes no sense. Because, like, when did the CIA see that the plane's wings, like, were miles from the fuselage?
It's just yeah.
But I still think, I remember watching it in the theater and just, like, when the drums, I love the scene when he tells one of his guys to stay behind with the plane, and he says the fire rises, and then the drums come in and the chanting. And I remember sitting in the theater the first time, and I would, like, the theater was shaking. It was so loud because it was an IMAX, and I was just like, this movie sucked me in. That was watching it again. There are serious continuity issues, and, like, it doesn't make that much sense. So it's not as good as The Dark Knight's opening, but I still think it's a great, very exciting scene.
I think it was suspenseful, definitely. I enjoyed it as an introduction to Bane, because I think that was a pretty Bane way of doing things, like showing like a character with a lot of cockiness and hubris, while at the same time can back it up, and I thought that was cool. My only problem was like the actual technical coordination. I was fine with him like intentionally crashing a plane, and the faking the death I was not into, but I do think as a cool introduction, I think the effects of the sound and Tom Hardy's acting were pretty good.
Yeah.
And his giant muscles.
Yeah, for me, I don't know, just like, I like comparing it to the Dark Knight one, like, it's not the same for me. And I don't know, as I wanted to kind of segue this into talking about comparing the villains, I guess, of all three movies, since we're here at the end, but, I don't know, Bane for me just, like, didn't really do it for me. I felt like a lot of what he was saying was just, like, weird philosophical, like, kind of philosophical stuff, and I was like, what are you even, why? What are you saying to me? Like, you know, that was just me, though.
I think I like him as a villain in what the challenge he presents to Batman is.
Yeah.
More than what he actually does. I think I agree with you that a lot of what he says is speaking in, like, fanciful circles.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought the voice effect was personally pretty cool.
I love his voice.
Everyone has
really,
a Bane impression.
Really,
so mine's
terrible.
Yeah.
It's great, but
I spent so long working on mine.
Yeah. My Batman and my Bane impressions are frightful. But I liked like the fact, especially like when they're analyzing like his fighting style with Alfred in the beginning. I thought that was the thing I was like looking at and like waiting for a lot of the film, and I thought it fulfilled that really well. Especially like when there's like the backbreak scene and stuff like that. Mm. Like the fact that he's like, I've beaten Ra's al Ghul. I could totally take this guy out, and he's like, you should look, like, he's pretty tough. Yeah. And then, like, it kind of, the hubris of Batman and his abilities and, like, things like that. I liked that, like, in relation to each other, I liked those things, but him as, like, a mental, get-in-your-head kind of character, I was like, eh, everything you're doing is pretty physical and straightforward.
Yeah.
And maybe if that was intentional, that's cool, but I don't think it was.
I thought that backbreak scene was actually one of my favorite in the movie, because, I don't know, I felt like the way they did the sound of, because there was no, like, backing music, and it was kind of like, it's, you could hear Batman, like, doing his, like, fight sounds, but they sounded, like, very pathetic to me, and
yeah.
I really liked
that.
That was awesome.
I love at the beginning when he walks out and he's, like, hitting Bane as hard as he can, and Bane just has no reaction.
Yeah, no, yeah. That, I thought that scene was awesome, because it just, like, it kind of, like, showed how, like, weak Batman was compared to Bane, and just, like, how, like, he looked pathetic, he looked and sounded pathetic to me. He looked like he was, like, hitting a brick wall, and, like, nothing was happening.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
I also like how he uses his gadgets, like he throws the smoke bomb at him, and then he turns out all the lights, and Bane is Batman just better, and it doesn't work. And I love that speech Bane gives, where it's like, oh, you think darkness is real?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's a great scene. And then he's turning around, and then you see Batman behind him, and Batman lunges at him, and he grabs, like, that's when you know that it's over.
Yeah, for me, that's why I don't like Bane. Because, like, the speeches like that, like, they just didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
And
oh,
I think that's
love
just
those speeches.
Me. Yeah, no, like,
yeah,
I think
no,
a
I
ton of people
great.
Love those speeches. That's those speeches are quoted all the time.
Yeah.
And just for me, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, I think in terms of, I think if they had emphasized the themes of the first film and what, like, the Ra's al Ghul school of thought was more and kind of tried to connect them more, I think I would have liked the film better. I think the idea of Batman isn't the, like, his physical superiority isn't as much as his ability to, like, have, like, conjure fear in people. And I think that's why his supervillains are always his supervillains. Like, the Joker's insane, so he's not afraid. Bane is just, like, a fucking brick wall, and that's why he's just like, yeah. He's like, no, this does not scare me. Like, his ability to, like, to terrify Scarecrow with his drugs, I thought was a cool theme, and just crash a train into Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, Deus Ex train to me. But, like, like his ability to, like, scare, like, the average thug is what keeps him going. I think in a one-on-one fight with 20 people, he wouldn't do as well. So, yeah, I thought if they had kind of emphasized that more and how his abilities change when he's in the pit would have been more effective for me, I guess.
Yeah. I also think, I felt like in The Dark Knight, they kind of dropped, like, all of the Ra's al Ghul stuff. Like,
they went away from it.
Was not one mention. But that's for me what kind of made it great. Like, I loved it. Like, that was my favorite movie. Like, that was my favorite movie of the trilogy. And just, like, my favorite plot, my favorite everything about this trilogy is The Dark Knight. Partly because they dropped the Ra's al Ghul stuff. I mean, I mean, I don't know if they had to bring it back at the end, and I don't know what it helped bringing it back at the end.
See, I thought it tied. It felt like the trilogy came full circle with the Ra's al Ghul stuff. Because if they hadn't connected it to Batman Begins at all, then it would have just, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy are just three movies that all have Batman in it, and there's no, like, there's very little connection between the movies. But I like the fact that they brought it back. They have that flashback with Ra's al Ghul, and I liked how they tied it in, because it felt like the movie was, they felt like the three movies were telling one big story, and The Dark Knight Rises was completing the story.
I think there was, what, 8 years between the first and the third film?
Yeah.
In a half, because 6 months between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
Yeah. So I think in that, I think as filmmakers, they kind of forgot that their audience hasn't necessarily been as intent on the filmmaking as they have. Like, I mostly forgot all the Ra's al Ghul themes, and I was, frankly, kind of too young, like, to have seen it. I don't think I saw it in theaters the first time. Like, I wasn't that young. I was maybe 10. But, like, I'm speaking from, like, a younger audience who's the audience that could be into Batman. So I think a lot of people didn't get the disconnect. Everyone was so intent on the second film and how great that was and the themes that it presented that those kind of got abandoned, and trying to bring them back in a little abruptly to me, I thought could have been done better. I think they could have tried to transition a little smoother between the two.
Yeah, I think so. That was,
although the 8 year gap was cool to me.
Yeah, but, yeah. Like, no, the 8 year gap was interesting, and it kind of, I don't know, gave Batman more like angst than
you get
he
like
had.
Dark Knight Returns aged yeah. retired Batman.
Yeah, he literally said like action. I'm retired. And I'm like yeah. okay.
Which I like was, I think, in some of the successes of Batman's of the past, and I think you could even say this about James Bond, like even the most recent James Bond, emphasizing an older Bond with Daniel Craig. I don't like to talk about older Batman, so I'm going to segue right into James Bond, because screw you, I don't know, all the other Batmans except for Adam West and maybe a few others in there. Not Val Kilmer. Anyway, tangenting. But I think like emphasizing an older hero is a lot more interesting in yeah. that way, and the inabilities, and even the motivation, like to, like, look, I could go around the streets beating up thugs forever, but, like, eh. Like,
yeah. what's it worth?
Yeah.
And that's it's a great speech that Alfred gives Bruce about
yeah. Alfred
moving
gives
on.
Good speeches.
Yeah. A lot of good speeches in
yeah.
this movie.
yeah.
A lot of really good speeches.
Yeah, I agree. Also, wasn't a lot of Batman in the movie?
Yeah, he's only really in three scenes.
Yeah.
He's in the stock market chase, and then he's in the fight with Bane, and then he's in the ending. He's
yeah.
really not. Well, that just goes to show the three. It's about Bruce Wayne. It's not
yeah.
about Batman. That's
yeah.
what I love about the films.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I wanted to transition into talking about, how did you guys feel about Catwoman and Anne Hathaway?
I was surprised, because when I heard that Anne Hathaway was going to be Catwoman, I was furious, because I don't really like the character of Catwoman that much, and I don't like Anne Hathaway that much.
Oh,
but I thought the way I thought it was very well done. She was in the movie enough to move it along, and she never felt like she was. I thought she was very natural in the role, which I was
yeah.
surprised by, because I'm trying to remember the scene when I'll come back to it, but she just kind of seemed to slide right into the role, and it was very natural. Never felt like she was forcing anything.
Like, her ass-kicking ability, I was a little questionable, and her motorcycle-driving abilities, a little questionable. I liked her small scope, that it's just someone who's, like, thrifty and, like, trying to survive. Like, I'm not, like, diminishing her to just that,
yeah.
but her scope is just, like, self-concerned. She's like, yes, I'm doing all of this to keep, like, me and people I care about sustained in, like, an impoverished neighborhood. And I thought the subtlety of that, and, like, she's never really projected as Catwoman, it's just that she just has kind of ears in one scene,
yeah.
which were
she's
also,
never,
like,
always,
a practical
yeah.
thing. Also, how do you get night vision goggles if you're yeah. really
she stole
poor?
Them.
Like, oh, that's
wasn't that from, didn't Bruce Wayne get
oh,
them?
Yeah, I'm sorry,
yeah.
she did. Yeah, that's my mistake then. Never mind. Okay, Bruce Wayne money for everyone.
yeah.
But I think she did a really good job. I don't like the fact that her and Talia al Ghul were in the same film.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
they're the two in the larger Batman ethos. I think the two of them kind of are conflicting characters, in that they're the love interests of Batman, in the way that, like, he actually, like, the son of Batman ends up, he has with Talia al Ghul in the comics, and then don't really know how Catwoman factors in. I thought it created kind of a weird non-conflict of who do I emphasize.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like, well, like let's scrape through the roster. Who do we have left who's actually like a feasible hero who's not ridiculous like Mr. Freeze or the Penguin? The Penguin would have been kind of cool to me, but I don't know. Danny DeVito kind of shut that down with Tim Burton. But anyway, like I think they just try to see like, who do we have left? Let's like quick scan through the comics. Who do we got? And then they plugged everyone in just to say like, we have an appropriate amount of narrative.
Yeah.
Well, the scene I was talking about was when she first gets introduced and she's like, she and Bruce Wayne are talking and she's pretending to be all innocent, and then Bruce Wayne calls her out and then she just transitions.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really good part.
No, she does that
she just,
so well.
Because it's so natural, and I remember sitting, like, watching the movie and just, where did this come from?
Yeah,
and
no,
it's so, it's really well done.
There's the other part where she's in the bar and the SWAT team comes and she's she's really afraid. I was watching with Erica and she's like acting super afraid and they turn around and she's like, please. And I was like, that was awesome. I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I actually, I thought she's one of the best parts of the movie, which I was very surprised by because I was not expecting that.
Yeah. I thought she did really well. I liked how they used her. Christopher, we talked about those Christopher Nolan women, not great, but I thought he did a pretty good job with her.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts involving her was when she just kind of like disappears and like Batman turns around and goes, so that's how that feels.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cute.
Well, that's actually,
that's
a line straight from the comics.
Yeah.
That's
good. I thought that was cute. I was a fan. Yeah.
No, she was definitely like, don't get me wrong in that. I think Anne Hathaway did a really good job with what she had. I think her existence in the film is debatable, but I think she did a really good work on that.
Yeah. And it's cool seeing them at the end working together. Batman's in the air and she's on the Batpod.
Yeah.
It was cool.
It was a nice like incorporation in that way.
Yeah. And I think she kind of like pulls in the whole like, this movie was like super timely when it came out because it was like during Occupy Wall Street, and it has those themes of like 1%ers versus the 99, that kind of thing. And I think she kind of like pulled that in.
She's an interesting foil to Bruce Wayne because she is basically the opposite of him. And And then he goes broke. I love that the scene when she tells him she's sorry he lost all his money, and he just goes, no, you're not. And that's a...
Yeah, that's pretty great, yeah. And then how do you feel about Talia?
Yeah. I think this is the biggest weakness of the movie, is it just...
I think
it was too far.
Is just like Christopher Nolan's crush on Marion Cotillard is just like glaring, and you're like, oh, she's in here. It's like, that's a plot twist. You're like, oh no, like she has a dynamic looking face and she's going to do something that you didn't expect. So you're just like waiting for her to like flip and her character was so like underused in most of the film.
That's what I was going to say.
You're like, wow, it's like they're really keeping her in the back pocket for something weird to happen. And it did. And like, you knew like,
when she has the mask on and then she like reveals her face. Just what could that mean?
What? Yeah.
The one part I do like is the first scene when she talks to Bruce Wayne. She talks about restoring balance, and she says a lot. Like it sounds very similar to what Ra's al Ghul said in the first movie. And when you watch the film again with that in mind, it's not that it doesn't come out of nowhere, but it's pretty like they set it up ahead of time by explaining her motivation. And I actually I thought that was really, that part was well done. The twist itself, when it happens, kind of completely derails the fantastic finale because they have to explain everything. And it, not that it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't elevate the film. It kind of brings it down.
It's just like a quick flashback to tie in everything. Just like the fact that they needed such like an obvious visual explainer kind of like underwhelmed me in a way. She's like, I was the kid. It's like, I was a 12-year-old girl and I leapt a gigantic distance for no reason. They beat up Bane in the process. None of this makes
sense.
They
don't explain his mask thing either.
Yeah.
They're like,
well,
he just got
the
crap beat out of him and somehow his face got screwed up and it's a thing. I don't know.
They don't, they just like, there was a lot of holes in this, and this was just like, it's like we've been saving this like nondescript dungeon just to, like, they wrapped everything up, I think, in 90 seconds. And they're like, all right, accept this, and let's move forward. This is the plot twist. Go.
Yeah.
And that's what I didn't really enjoy, that it didn't have that cool arc of narrative that you saw, particularly with the Joker, of, like, all of his details unfolded and things like that.
Yeah. I do think, though, that the ending wouldn't have really worked if it was Bane driving the truck instead of... Like, that would have been kind of silly.
Yeah.
Bane was,
oh, yeah.
So... You sort of see why they did that, but at the same time, it...
No, I think the introduction of her is more of my problem as opposed to her being the villain.
Okay, yeah.
I think it kind of, that one character kind of, like, just shows all of Christopher Nolan, like, my weaknesses, my, what I think Christopher Nolan's weaknesses are. Like, he did a good job writing Catwoman, him and Jonathan did a good job writing Catwoman, but, like, she was in the movie, like, maybe, like, a couple of times, like, a handful of times, and she was kind of insignificant. So when the twist came, I was like, eh.
Yeah.
Just, it was like, okay. He was focusing on, like, getting a twist and kind of, like, shoehorning it in there, and then it just didn't land.
She also has probably the worst death scene. One of the worst death scenes I've ever. She just kind of stops.
Dies.
She's such a good actress. Why? Why did they think that was good?
Nolan's like a fan of dropping her off of tall things, so like, yeah. You don't really get the end. Like, at least that's a pretty easy way to die. Like, they didn't. I don't know.
Just the way it was acted, though. Like, it was a really, really poorly acted.
I would like to see like a montage loop of Marion Cotillard death scenes to see how she does it. Has anyone seen Macbeth? Let's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Things
to think about here.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. But I don't know. I felt like the twist in this movie just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
As with most Christopher Nolan movies.
It would have worked if they had made Bane the son of Ra's al Ghul. I accepted it at the time, I was just like, okay, that's different from the comics, sense. But it, you know,
whatever.
It worked.
Yeah. I just, but also when they use Joey King, who's like a fairly well, like as the kid in The Pit, like she's a fairly well-known
child actress. Yeah.
Like, I was like, no, that's a girl.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's ruined.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. No, I'm okay with the Talia Ghul thing. I think it was, most of my problems with it are the bank scene. And
oh, yeah, that, oof. You think about, like, the bank scene
just
doesn't
the,
make
the bank scene was just,
sense.
Like,
it's a cool chase. Like, it's a really cool, and it's a cool way to reintroduce Batman. But there's so many things that just make absolutely no sense.
Once they actually, like, on the front steps was cool to me, like the cops versus like villains.
Oh, are you
thing.
Talking about the chase scene or the final
fight? Oh, I'm sorry.
Fight?
I mean, in the final fight, and then when they actually get knocked into the bank.
Oh, yeah.
That
okay.
scene,
gotcha.
Like, I'm cool with the whole plot. I think if they had tried to start working in Talia al Ghul, who she was 20 minutes earlier in the plot, if she had even come to visit him in the pit or something like that. That would have been better with me, honestly.
And it was kind of like, and she's
gotcha. It cuts to her watching the battle. Yeah. Just it reminded me of the scene from The Phantom Menace with Gunray, and it's just watching the battle, and they're like, oh, we thought they were going to attack through the field. So I remember in the theater just laughing to myself, which I shouldn't have been, because it's the end of the movie, and it's exciting. And it just reminded me of The Phantom Menace, which was bad. But, yeah.
Okay, also, I just would like to also add again, because Commissioner Gordon is an idiot. Like, how do you not know that he, like, his surprise at the end of the movie still, like, kills
me. Oh, I got, it
he's
got
like,
me. When I was
like,
first
Bruce
watching
Wayne?
When I was
what?
Watching
like,
it, because it,
no,
it had the flashback.
Bruce Wayne!
I loved it. I went, it's a great line, and his reaction, I remember in the theater being like, it hit me.
No, it's like a good, like, emotional thing, and he's like, oh, I helped this kid, and now he's like, oh, it's great, oh, but, like, also, like, how did you not know?
Well,
how?
To be fair, I think what the movie is trying to imply is that even though Batman disappeared 8 years ago, Bruce Wayne remained in the public eye for a couple of years and then slowly became a recluse, because he talks about, Talia al Ghul mentions that he tried to set up the energy project, then it failed, and that was when he went. So I think it implies that it's not like Batman and Bruce Wayne both disappeared at the same time. There was a break where Batman was gone and Bruce Wayne was still there, and then Bruce Wayne became recluse. But at the same time, it's pretty obvious he's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Like, if Joseph Gordon-Levitt can figure it out
in
just
like
by looking
minutes.
At his face.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know Bruce Wayne. Like, you also know Batman. Like, if Joseph Gordon-Levitt can figure it out, like, from, like, seeing him, like, twice, like, you...
And just looking at his face.
You should know. You're the police commissioner.
Yeah.
I always thought the Batmobile would just give it up immediately. Like,
right?
That looks like that expensive thing that only one guy owns. Like, except he painted it a different color.
Weird.
Just how I feel. But, like, that's completely irrelevant to this movie.
It is. But like, it really gets me. I'm like, come on.
I don't know. We talked about the Green Lantern, right? When
Lux
is like, how? It's like, what? I have a mask.
Like, she's like, I've known you my whole life just because your cheekbones are covered. Like, no. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
But it is, I do really like, I love Gary Oldman, and I still really like Commissioner Gordon. Gary Oldman. He's a,
yeah, for sure.
I like that he actually had something to do at the end that felt like it mattered.
Yeah.
Instead, because you kind of tell the finale, they kind of mapped out what each, so they gave each character, like, they gave Lucius the job of running to the reactor, and then, so I actually didn't think that it was just kind of like shoehorned in. I thought that Gordon had something to do.
Yeah.
And one of the scenes that I think is kind of clever and that it's very understated is, you know, when they first stop the truck and it's the wrong truck.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a couple of views to realize this, but the reason why they do that is because earlier in the movie they give Miranda Tate or Talia al Ghul the metal the detector. And she points, like, she's like, oh, yeah, this is the truck, but it's not the truck. Mm-hmm. So she's, like, setting them up to go to the wrong thing. And that's, it's never referred to, but I think that's, it's a cool little detail that you see after, that's like, good. On multiple viewings.
Yeah. Also, I also thought the bomb scene on the football field was just cool. Like,
yeah, that's really, a, that's
it's a cool, like, I'm sure they were like, all right, we gotta do this thing, and they're like, oh, what if, and then he's like running and he like gets the touchdown and he's like, oh, oh shit. Yeah. I love it.
The Steelers are dead now.
But are we really upset? Are we really upset?
Ben Roethlisberger is dead. We haven't talked about this at all.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's so okay with that.
Oh, that man. Whole sequence when he blow, like, when it's all set up and he blows up, that's a really well done sequence.
No, they do some just, like, cool things.
There's just this feeling of dread, and it builds slowly. Then it all, really. Unfortunately, it kind of goes a little off the rails afterwards. Yeah, but that sequence itself is.
No, they
really
do some
well
just
done.
Like really like that was cool to look at type of things.
Again, the logic of like. Imagine if it was, like, New York, and they're like, we blew up every bridge in sections, and we've taken New York. And, like, I don't know. I think about that in that way, that the scope of it seems, like, I think that's always confused me about most comic book universes, like, the scope of individual cities to whatever their larger country is.
Yeah, but it's one of those, like, it's a comic book.
Yeah, I can get behind that, though. Yeah.
Because it is based off of No Man's Land, where in No Man's Land, a big earthquake hits Gotham, and it gets cut off from the rest of the world, and... So that it isn't really but that's the idea behind it.
I also like how they just keep bringing back the guy who plays Scarecrow. Just to
he's still
out there in the
streets.
Everyone
applauded when that
happened.
Evil. Yeah,
yeah.
I was happy.
No, I like it. Yeah,
and, like, the criminal court thing. That was cool. Yeah. Like, I could get, like, I think that's what would happen if you, like, imagine, like, the asylums and the prisons kind of, like, overturned in this universe. So I was pretty interested in that. Yeah. That was cool.
I don't know. I just like how he just, like, he like, pops up in every movie.
He's it's a cool little, he's still here.
Just doing what I do. Yeah. No, I love it. All right. Okay. I think, yeah. Oh, also, conspiracy theories, how did Batman escape? How do you think he...
He got back to Gotham?
Yeah.
He has 3 weeks to get back to Gotham.
No, well, yeah.
And in Batman Begins, he had traveled the world for multiple years, like, stowing away places, stealing stuff. I personally think that it's reasonable that he could get back to Gotham. Now, as to getting into Gotham...
That's the thing.
He's bad. Like, there are ways.
I think it was one of those, like, he just did it.
Yeah, you just kind of got
to... Don't ask questions. Just, it happened.
Once he's close enough, I'm cool with. I just think, like, he walked a lot, I imagine.
There was a lot of walking.
There was an economy class flight from somewhere to somewhere. I think it sounds, based on, like, the international connections, I think it's manageable, but... Yeah. I was like,
yeah. And then also from the plane, the was it the bat,
like,
at the end
bat
with
lane?
The bomb? Yeah,
autopilot,
right?
Autopilot.
Yeah. I remember because, like, I think it was either Alfred or Fox was saying, like, oh, the autopilot needs some work, and I was like, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, but then, like, he's just like, oh, he does have an autopilot, and then, like, it was okay. Crying Michael Caine really just, like, tugs at the heartstrings.
Yeah,
just Michael Caine's just talented and, like, I don't know. Anything with him upset makes me instantly upset.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I was watching this with my other friend, and she's a crier. And she was telling me she saw this movie at midnight, like, she dressed up as Batman, and just the end scene got her. So she's
crying. I teared up
the
first
theater.
Time I saw it. Yeah.
You're dressed as Batman. Watching.
Yeah, it's a very emotional ending, which I didn't expect that.
Yeah,
because Christopher Nolan rarely makes emotionally involving movies, and this one was very emotionally involving.
Like, heartbroken Alfred was like the acting that I've been waiting to give him. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, Michael Caine's the
best. Like, I would have if there was just like Alfred the movie. Like, I'd be like, let's do it.
A prequel with
Alfred. Oh man,
I would be so.
I feel like that might be made one day at the rate we're going at.
Like, Michael Caine is one of my favorite humans. I think like his generation of like Hal Holbrook, him, I don't know, like all the Dumbledores, like Christopher Plummer,
Jeremy
like,
Irons.
Much the old men of Hollywood who play like the grandfathers and the mystic sages of
every
situation. Like these guys are great. Yeah. They go like any one of them can make you cry like on command. Like Water for Elephants, Hal Holbrook, like like his monologue in the last like 2 minutes of that film, that was like you went from Robert Pattinson to this, like clap for you, dude.
Just way to go.
He just gets like low key Oscar nods from his 2 minute cameos and things. This has nothing to do with the film again, like, I'm sorry. But
well, one thing about Alfred though, what did you guys think of his decision to leave Bruce? Because that felt out of character, because Alfred is established as the most, he's undyingly loyal, and then because I love the movie, I think it's a good, it's a good way of showing how much Alfred cares and how much he wants himself. Yeah. He tries to, like, shock Bruce back into not being Batman, because he leaves and Bruce doesn't listen to him.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people who say that Alfred would never leave Bruce, no matter what the situation.
I don't know, I think that makes sense. Like, I don't know, I have a friend who, like, I don't know. Anyway, I think it's a very, like, if you care about someone that much, like, at some point you just gotta be like, I cannot watch you do any of this anymore. Like, I can't. And also, it might shock you into being like, maybe what I'm doing is wrong. Like, this person has been so loyal to me for so long and really cares about me, and they're not supporting me anymore, they're not behind me, they physically can't watch them do this thing. I think I like that, and it like did very much prove the emotional like attachment between Bruce and Alfred.
Yeah. Mike?
I concur. I don't know. I'm like, I think it was like something's gotta give, kind of. I think it made him a more interesting character, and like I think that goes back to like giving him more opportunities to just act are the best things about him. So I'm okay with the decision. I think I understand like the undying loyalty thing, but I think giving him some freedom, like not locking him to Bruce Wayne forever, makes the plot a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. And also it makes the ending when he's crying at the grave saying that he failed them, and he feels even more guilty because Bruce is dead. Yeah. It's so that.
If he had stuck by him the whole time and done that, I think it would have had less of an impact.
I'm surprised. I thought there was going to be contention over that, but I'm glad we're all on the same page.
I'm cool with that,
Okay.
Because anything involving Michael Caine is
okay. Michael Caine can do no wrong.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, so, I think, any parting thoughts about this last movie?
I think now it's my second best Batman. I'll give you, after this conversation, I'll give you a more solid ranking on it. I do enjoy it.
There are a lot of plot holes and things that make sense.
Casually watch this.
I love putting this on, and I think that what's interesting is the way that the three films are structured. There's always Batman encounters the villain midway through and loses, and then comes back at the end. Mm-hmm. And I think that this film, even though The Dark Knight, obviously the middle sequence is absolutely brilliant, but this film in particular, because he gets beaten, his back's broken, and then it just, when it comes out at the end, and I love the scene when Batman and Bane are fighting their way through the crowd to get to each other. Mm-hmm. And then when Batman breaks his mask and Bane just starts swinging wildly, Tom Hardy is so great in that performance.
Tom Hardy.
That's such a cool scene. Because, like, Batman knows his weakness and breaks his mask. And then when he breaks the pillar, so you get an idea of how strong he is, and Batman's, like, using it against him. So if the first fight scene was Bane using Batman's strengths against him, the second scene is Batman using Bane's strengths against him, and I think that's a really neat thematic conclusion.
I agree. All right, now we're going to rank the three. Just give your official ranking of the three movies.
Like the order or numerical, are we saying? Just like the order of the films?
The order. So, well, like, say, like, which one's your favorite?
Okay. I think, for me, it goes The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises, and then Batman Begins. nothing against Batman Begins. I just think they really cleaned up their act between
yeah.
the two.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I concur.
Yeah, I agree as well.
But yeah, I think Batman Begins is just kind of like, we're doing a thing. I don't really know what's going to happen, but, you know, and there's, like, a lot of, like, weird CGI and, like,
yeah.
the train. Because
it's the most comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it wasn't bad, per se. It's just not on the
level. When you compare it to the next two, it's...
It also seems out a little out of place with the next two.
Yeah.
I think it has some good, like foundational things. I just think it was, like... We want to make these Batman movies. We don't really know how we're going to go about it. And then they did the first one, and they kind of worked out the kinks. They definitely worked out the kinks with The Dark Knight. Like,
yeah.
It was amazing. Like, it's number four on the list for a reason. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And then Rises, I think it's a good conclusion. I don't think it's, like, the best thing I've ever seen. But I think it definitely is, like, number two, just because they kind of had their stuff together
yeah.
at the end.
And I can definitely, I will put any of these three movies on and just watch it, because
yeah.
they're all very, yeah. I love all these movies, but I would definitely say The Dark Knight Rises, Batman Begins is
yeah.
pretty clear.
Agreed. All right. You want to guess what number The Dark Knight Rises
is?
I want to
say 45.
Dark Knight Rises. I'm going to guess...
32.
62. Oh,
62.
That's actually
about 62.
That would have been insane.
I usually undershoot and like, I mean, I always overshoot them, and I was like, all right, I'll change it up.
Yeah.
Damn.
This actually, I can see those.
That's a fair ranking. Yeah. I didn't guess that because I thought it was the fair ranking, but this
yeah.
is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 62 is pretty good just because, like, Dark Knight trilogy is pretty, like, iconic.
Yeah. And it was very timely with the Occupy Wall Street and
very
the, whole,
timely.
You know, the revolution stuff.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's, like, super famous for a reason.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, 62. I'm cool with 62.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's definitely fair.
Yeah. I think we're done, guys. Oh, my God.
All right.
Batman.
Trilogy's over.
We now live in a post-Dark Knight trilogy world.
We do. All right, so follow the Georgetown Voice at G-Town Voice on Twitter. Follow Halftime at Halftime GU. Go on GeorgetownVoice.com. And click the Halftime link and just read articles, listen to more podcasts, Taste Test, Untitled Leisure Project, Mysteries of History coming soon. yeah, so spend a good long time on Halftime. You can follow me on Twitter at dnhewitt96. You can follow Mike at
mbergen95.
And Graham.
I can't remember.
I was about
recently,
to spell Bergen.
Sorry.
Okay.
No, I recently changed my... and I can't remember what
you,
I changed.
Oh, okay. We'll figure
so
it
I'll
out
check
later.
And,
you could go on mine. I follow Graham, I think.
Yeah.
So check my followers and track down Graham. It's mbergen95.
B-E-R-G-I-N.
Yeah, you guys got it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, fam.
Got you.
All right. I think that's it.
That's it.
Yep.
Goodbye. We're out.
Yep.
See you next week.